You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
Who's got it better than us?
No!
Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Monday. Jake Hatch filling in for Jake Scott today. You have better things to do than scramble to find your next great hire. Let Spherion Staffing do it for you. Visit them online, spherion.com/Utah. That's spherion.com/Utah. S-P-H-E-R-I-O-N. Speaking of Spherion, let's welcome in our next guest. We hire him every Monday to come in and correct all of our basketball wrongs. It is Coach Tim Lacombe. What's going on, Coach?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're doing terrific. Hey, last night you got to hang out with our guy JP and actually watch a pretty decent basketball game. I know the Jazz lost by 20, but not unenjoyable until the 21-2 run midway through the third quarter. I actually think the Jazz have played pretty hard their last two outings.
I totally agree. I think Coach Hardy made a nice comment prior to the game, and I think it's something all Jazz fans can take to heart. It's, you know, this is not necessarily all results. In fact, very little of it is the last, 8-9 games. It's going to be more about process. It's going to be more about guys being in the right spot. And, you know, we're seeing more of that. I think that the ball moved last night. Jazz shot the ball well from three. And all three rookies, you know, between the three of them, they scored 58 points. So without John Collins, without Larry Markkanen, and Clarkson, obviously this is a young group, and they are going to take their lumps, but there were some good moments last night.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you about those rookies, Tim. We've been talking about it here on the show today, but really the two in Bryce Sensabaugh and Taylor Hendricks, we're finally getting our first real good extended look at them this season due to some of the injuries and them being more featured in the lineup. Give me your sense for where you see all three of them right now as the regular season is getting closer to an end.
Well, we've seen some great play from all three of them. I think, as a whole, the things that I would say going forward, I think with Keontae, he's had a great opportunity this year, but I think going forward for him, it's consistency. You know, he's had a lot of hot and cold moments, and I think, that's indicative of a young player, but moving forward, you'd hope that that's something. You know, he can get a little bit more consistent with his shot, with his decision-making, and just general understanding. I think that'll come in time. We talked a bunch about Hendricks and, the fact that he really is ready-made for the NBA in a lot of different ways. Defensively, his ability to play a lot of different defenses, his ability to switch and guard smaller players. And he's been thrown to the fire. He's had crazy assignments in his rookie year, and it's only going to make him better over time. And I think last night, some things came together for him. But what stands out to me about him, I think, is just more of an offensive game, more of an offensive weapon going forward, working on his handle. He's never going to be a guy that really breaks you down, but just to be able to start playing off of closeouts, using guys' momentum against them. So it's fun to watch him develop, excited about him. And then Sensabaugh, he's a great scorer. And what I've been impressed with is his, throwing himself in on the defensive end, not embarrassed to make some mistakes, which is going to happen, but playing hard. He's got a special chance. I think his ball goes in the hoop. I think he's got a great understanding, far better passer than I thought. And we haven't even gotten to the point, they did it last night, but you can throw that ball to him and he can kind of become somebody you run offense through in the mid post. So a lot of different good things for him. I think continue working on his body and becoming a better educated and, execution-wise defender.
Yeah, Will Hardy's talked a lot about putting Lowry Markkanen at the nail. That might be a spot you put Bryce Sensabaugh at going forward, just because he's 6'5". I mean, it was funny to see him standing next to Dylan Brooks the other day, Friday night. He's got the exact same body as Dylan Brooks from Houston Rockets, and Dylan's made a very long career for himself as kind of a tough guy. He's tall enough that I think you put him there. He reads the defense maybe as well as anybody on the Jazz roster right now, and then has the advantage of being a little bit taller. And then he's got some guts to throw some passes, and I think that's part of being a good passer is, not every pass Jokic throws is a great idea, but he's got the guts to do it where nobody else does. I feel like Bryce does a little bit of that. I'm not comparing him to Nikola Jokic, but he's willing to try some passes that nobody else does, and if you never try them, they never become a threat.
It's so true. I talked to your buddy Jake Scott ad nauseum about three-point shooting, and he was always so consumed with the fact that Ben Simmons doesn't even try to shoot threes. How are you going to get any better? And to your point, I think that's something you have to do. You have to throw yourself into it. Like this year, the number of times Taylor Hendricks has been, dunked on or guys have flown by him. But I mean, it's just part of the process. It happens to every rookie that comes into this league. I remind people, I was sitting courtside back in the infamous Kobe Bryant airball game his rookie year. And, I sat there and thought and watched it and was just like, wow, I can't believe that happened. Fast forward, obviously, through his career, and nobody's talking about the airball. But rookies, it's a daunting task to get into this league and establish, an identity and something going forward. And these guys are in the midst of that. It's exciting to me.
Now, with Taylor Hendricks, he's obviously going to be called upon to shoot that corner three a lot. And this season's been kind of a mixed bag for him from that spot. It seems like at times that ball comes off his hand in rhythm and you're like, okay, that's going in. But at other times it comes off and you can tell it's flat as can be. And you're like, oh, it's going to ricochet off the rim. And there you go. It's a long rebound. Is that just part of the development process for him, is just getting it down to where he knows release point, where he needs to get that out of his hand in terms of making that shot more consistently?
Yeah, it's a good point. I do think his shot is flat. And sometimes when it's flat, obviously in the heat of the moment, you regress to stuff that, you're not thrilled with, but you're working on. And I do think the speed of the game makes shooting more difficult in the NBA, the length of these guys. I think you shoot a couple early on and realize just how fast closes are. And again, I think that's why if you are simply just a three-point shooter, teams are going to really know that. And, the idea of running somebody off the line is really to their advantage, because right now Taylor doesn't have a whole lot of off the bounce game. But as he develops both, as he gets used to more of the length and speed of the game, and obviously works on some mechanics, get that thing higher, he doesn't miss a lot left or right. You'll notice it's short. So it's a little bit flat, but I watched the way that, the Jazz worked with guys through the years, and I think he'll find that stroke. What I'm excited about is then when he does, teams start to fly at him. He gives him a shot fake, one or two bounces, and he's playing ball, and I think that's where he needs to get to.
I want to ask you about John Collins, who in the Jazz's last 16 games, he's appeared 13 times. No, the Jazz aren't winning games at all, but among rotation players, like real rotation players, not Kyra Lewis and some of these guys who are sneaking in for a minute or two, John Collins has the best plus-minus on the team. And again, it's still a negative because the Jazz are losing every game. But he's playing well, and really since going to Atlanta and he had that terrible game in his homecoming, he's averaging 19 points, 8.5 rebounds, he's shooting the heck out of the ball, 58% from the floor, 52% from three. This is in 13 appearances. It feels like he's figured something out, and I know he's had some hot streaks before, and that's kind of who he is as a player, but whereas I had no idea how he could kind of fit going forward, I kind of get a sense that, hey, this might be a guy that you give another season to see if he really figures out what the Jazz are asking of him and can grow into his role.
He's been great. I think he and Sexton, to me, in terms of veterans this year, have taken a huge step. don't forget, you know, I asked a million, answered a million questions last year when Jazz acquired John, and like, do they really want a guy who shoots 29% from three? I mean, you got to look beyond the numbers, and there was a lot more to that. I think he's in heaven here with the way the ball moves. And he's found in that small ball five, you know, where he has an advantage, you know, most nights. He's obviously on the defensive end giving up some things, but his offense, you know, the space that he's got and is able to play with, he's really thrived. So I'm with you. I think he and Sexton, from veteran perspective, have really developed. We talk about this year being somewhat of a rebuilding slash development year. And I think Sexton, Collins have taken that to heart. And while some guys maybe got caught up in the fact they're not very good, they get discouraged, you know, they drop their head, they pout. You know, these two guys, in my mind, just kept their head down and, you know, had an idea that they wanted to get better. And I think they both vastly improved this year just by virtue of doing that.
All right, I want to ask you a question that DJ and PK were debating earlier this morning, Tim, and they were talking about Lauri Markkanen. It looks like his season is over. Ben was one of the people that was reporting this, that looks like he's just going to be put on the shelf for the rest of the year. And essentially the high water mark of his career is in the mid-60s in terms of games played out of 82 in a regular season so far in his NBA career. And they were questioning, is he worth a long-term lucrative extension if you can only rely on him between 55 and maybe 70 games a season? In your thought?
Oh man, I don't know. I think that's why I got out of this. I will tell you what I see with Lauri Markkanen. I see a guy who's really committed to his team. I think he's committed to winning. He's up until the trade deadline, when everything kind of, you know, when spacing became an issue. Mm-hmm. When you move guys that are known for, particularly Kelly Olynyk, being kind of a facilitator, that the team definitely lost a little bit of that at the trade deadline. But I think what I've seen in 2 years, this guy's willing, he's tough, he's very skilled. I think he's improved on certain things that he needed to improve on over the last couple of years. Like Ben said, he's worked more in ISO. I think he's done a better job when the officials will blow the whistle at creating contact and getting fouls. But at the end of the day, in terms of like how he fits, what where his piece is going to be, I see him as more of a number two guy to a more I don't know, a player that can do more in a lot of different areas. And I think with the Jazz, both their ability to move in free agency, their ability to move up in the draft or just draft all the picks they have, you know, they're going to find players to accentuate what Lauri does. But in a vacuum right now, I mean, I think that that's the most honest answer I can give. I think he's a guy that's helping the organization, but I think it always comes down to what's it going to cost. Yeah. And, you know, and how is it going to impact us doing what we want to do? You know, I don't flippantly throw around other people's money, just because, I mean, this is really the nuance of the NBA, how you put your team together, when you do it, you know, the pieces that you put together going forward, that's your chance to win it. So I think that's where we are right now. And, you know, as far as Lauri being a piece of this going forward, I think it's, I think it would be awesome, you know, for him and for the organization. But without seeing all the other pieces, the best answer I can give you is I think he's a very, very solid, you know, if not, I don't want to say two, like 1B, you know, because he's got some definite one skill.
The cliche about the NCAA tournament is it's a guards tournament, but I look at Grant Nelson at Alabama, and then, of course, DJ Burns at NC State, and then the two big players, Donovan Clingan at UConn and Zach Edey at Purdue. I'm loving this. I love old-school big guys. Nelson's not so much old-school, but I love these big guys who get into the post and aren't afraid to bang and protect the rim on one end and then just try and get easy baskets at the other side. I've really liked watching these big guys play, and I'm excited to see them face off in the Final Four.
I am too. I totally am. I have one of the four. That's how crazy this thing was. But you, with all that being said, I think it sets up so great. I think the, you know, there's storylines. There's so many storylines. And Nate Oates, the head coach at Alabama, I met him in 2018 back at Celtics training camp, and he was just kind of sitting off by himself, and you know, I'm kind of a mixture blender. I walked up and we started chatting. So for the 2 or 3 days we were there, got to know each other pretty well and have stayed in touch. And his, you know, his story is so cool because 10 years ago, he was a high school coach. 10 or 11 years ago, Danny Hurley, obviously, was a high school coach. But Nate Oates got into the game because the Hurley brothers gave him an opportunity at Buffalo. He went to work there for Bobby at Buffalo. Bobby obviously went to ASU. Nate got the Buffalo job, and the rest is history. But it's just pretty crazy, all the different storylines. But yeah, the big guys, man, they are kind of the story. And it's what's kind of neat is it's not necessarily 5 yards in a cloud of dust like the old days. There's a lot of movement. You know, you watch Connecticut's offense and you watch Klingon, you know, setting flares, turning around and setting a rescreen, rolling hard to the basket. And both he and Edie kind of are like road graders for those guards. They roll, particularly from the high ball screen, the middle of the third of the floor, and they literally just wipe out the defense and the guards. You'll see it. They'll drive it to their left hand, see they've got an opening because he's ceiling to the right. So there's a lot at play here, but I do love basketball, regardless of big or small, guys you can play through. It's why I brought up that angle of Sensabaugh. I think it makes guys more valuable. This is going to be fun. Obviously, Alabama, UConn, really high octane. If it comes down to Edie versus Klingon, I mean, how fun would that be?
Right.
So lots of different ways you could go. But I really enjoyed, even with all the upsets and my bracket being destroyed, I really enjoyed the tournament this year.
Well, I also wanted to ask you about NC State here. This is a team BYU beat 4 months ago now down there in Las Vegas. And how crazy to see them have won 9 straight now and punched their ticket back to the Final Four for the first time since Thurl Bailey was playing for them.
Yeah, I hope Thurl can make it down there. We were talking to him last week, and he told me, he was like, I got to get down there. So
he
can make it. What's the most amazing to me, and it just shows you how fragile a career in coaching can be. NC State was down 3 to Virginia in the ACC tournament. Guy was at the line to seal it for Virginia. And it makes the free throw, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
He misses, and NC State comes down and hits that bank shot from the left wing to send it to overtime. And from that point on, they go to what they've done right now. You know, Kevin Keats could always coach. But, you know, you have to kind of get lightning in a bottle, and they found it. They found the resilience. I think you gain strength. They had 5 times they had to overcome. You know, if they lose, they're done in that week. And I think they galvanized. Well, they got a special player in DJ Burns, and that dude is – he just gets that thing on the block. He reads his defender perfectly, and his touch is immaculate. So I can't wait. I mean, like, that matchup – between they and Purdue will just be it will be interesting because obviously Purdue's just kind of beating everybody with size, but these guys have some substance and some, like I said, some resolve. So that's going to be a hell of a first game.
And Purdue, great game yesterday and close and looks vulnerable. I haven't seen a single second where I thought UConn looked vulnerable at any point this tournament. I mean, they look so much better and so much more dominant than every other team I've seen in recent tournaments in a really long time. Is that what you see happening next weekend? I mean, honestly, I don't know if there's going to be a single-digit game for UConn throughout this whole tournament.
Well, again, I think if you were to look at my bracket, I don't know if you'd want me to answer that question. I come on as an expert, but in terms of brackets or who's win or win, that's always been a little bit difficult. This is the way I see it. I see it like everybody else has, like, the 1.0 software, and UConn was the first school in the country to get 2.0. I mean, I just think they move at a different speed. I think they run better stuff. I mean, like Luke Murray, son of Bill Murray, is their offensive coordinator. And I'm telling you, like, dig into some of the stuff they run. They run a horn set where they literally flare for one of the bigs and throw a skip pass to him. And then play off of a handoff, the guard's coming off the horn screen to the, you know, the weak side and just playing off a handoff over there. I mean, stuff that it's really kind of mind-bending, the cuts, the imagination, and then just what they can do to you. They can wad you up defensively and then get out in the open court. So, yeah, where I sit, I think it's going to be a UConn route. But, again, I preface that with my bracket.
Coach, thanks for jumping on. As always, 7 games left. Excited to catch up with you before the end of the season.
Man, Jake Scott sounds different today.
A little bit.
Okay. Took the day off yesterday.
You had a cold or something?
Yeah, had a cold. Couldn't work last night. That's why JP was filling in. But he's back, pushing through it.
Well, it's great to talk to you both.
All right. See you, Coach. There he is, Coach Tim Lacombe joins us every Monday. Our conversation brought to you by Spherion of Utah. You have better things to do than scramble to find your next great hire. Let Spherion Staffing do it. Visit them online, spherion.com/Utah. That's SPHERION.com/Utah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens this weekend. I'm not anticipating much chance. No, look, everyone's been underestimating NC State this whole time.
I was going to say, here's the thing. Thurl, if he can make it happen, he needs to get down there.
Oh, no, he's got to go. Like, he's a legend at NC State. This is when the players show up. I mean, mm-hmm. We remember famously the Marcus Page shot that ended up getting erased by the buzzer beater by Villanova.
Yes, I believe you're right, yeah.
But Marcus Page hits that crazy. And the who's the face they cut to in the crowd? Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Even MJ is going down to support his alma mater when MJ won't leave his house for anything other than a great round of golf.
I was gonna say, unless he's out on the links, yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, Thurl's got to go down there. Thurl's got to be a part of that.
And the nice part is this is in Arizona, so it's actually a really relatively easy trip. It's not having to go across the country and the like. So, yeah, it'd be cool to see Thurl show up. Did you read that whole thing about Ryan he's the ESPN writer, college football, and also NASCAR.
Yeah. He did with Marty and Marty Smith and Ryan, whatever their show was. But yeah.
But he wore 41 his entire life because of Thurl Bailey. I mean, they met Jazz played in Sure.
Yeah, Marty Smith.
Marty Smith is the other one. It's Ryan McGee.
Yeah, Ryan McGee
grew up in North Carolina, watched the NC State team. He wore the number 41 because of Thurl Bailey, and it took until this year for them to meet.
Yeah, the game in Charlotte, right?
Yeah. So Holly Rowe, obviously with her connections in ESPN, helped hook them up. But that kind of shows you what Thurl Bailey means to the NC State community. Like, Thurl, you probably don't take my opinion for much of anything, nor should you, but this is something, he absolutely needs to get down to.
And you know what? Well, Tim Lacombe will fill in on TV, if he's got to. There's
options. They'll slide Mike Smith. Yeah, they'll figure it out.
Right. So, Thurl, you got to be there. Got to be there for your team, and that's one of the best parts about these college basketball runs. And you know what? If Utah did it, I'd expect Andre Miller and KVH to be there.
And a whole litany of the Johnson brothers.
Right.
Alex Jensen probably finds a way to get there. Yeah.
BYU makes it. Danny Ainge's got to be there.
Jimmer
will be there. Yeah, right. You've got to get the faces there. Mm-hmm. So excited to see. We'll see if Big Dog Glenn Robinson turns out for Purdue this weekend.
Okay, that would be actually really cool.
We'll see who ends up showing up for these teams. But very cool. And, half the NBA is Villanova players. I guess, not UConn. Well, we got some UConn players in the league, too, we'll see who shows up.
That's the New York Knicks about.
Yeah. We'll see who shows up this weekend for all these teams.
Yeah.
Villanova's not playing anymore. All right, we'll keep breaking down the Utah Jazz and the latest in the world of sports locally. Coming up next, stick around. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind, until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3,
on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Jake Hatch filling in for Jake Scott. Other Jake will be back tomorrow. But shout out to Hatch for filling in, as always. Hey, coming up on Friday, join Hans and Scotty from noon to 3 at Rogers Performance Marine to celebrate the grand opening of their Splash Into Spring event. 1009 Recreation Way in North Salt Lake. 1009, however you want to say it. Recreation Way in North Salt Lake. Hans and Scotty, noon to 3 at Rogers Performance Marine to celebrate the grand opening of their Splash Into Spring event. All right, well, the Jazz get pretty impressive performances last night. I thought, here's the thing. I don't really care all that much about the downturn from Keontae George over the last couple of weeks. Like, I think it's pretty clear what happened. He really hit a stride going into the All-Star break. He had that big 30-point game.
Sure, yeah.
Came back. Jazz make all these trades. He kind of gets the starting role, and not just the starting role, but the starring role after Lauri Markkanen is out with injury. Mm-hmm. He takes off. He's the number one option for the Jazz, played really well, had that incredible stretch where he was shooting very well, and then I think absolutely runs out of gas. Lauri Markkanen comes out of the lineup. His rhythm is totally thrown off, and he's falling apart. And honestly, I just don't think he has legs. I think the rookie wall has not just hit him, but pretty much disintegrated him.
Yeah.
He's got very little to offer physically, and that's on him. Like, you've got to get bigger, you've got to get stronger, you've got to figure out all these ways to play more. But he didn't have the advantage of playing in the G League. You know, he came in and was in the rotation right away and started playing big minutes like 10 games into the season. So I think the rookie wall has been the reason for his downturn over the last 15 games of the season and, you know, what will probably close out the rest of the year. I wouldn't worry about it. He'll get in better shape and be fine next year. Impressive that, you know, you see Bryce Sensabaugh go 0-for-8 on Friday night. He was dreadful. At least shooting.
I was sitting there watching it with my own eyes. I'm like, ooh, yeah, but.
And then last night bounced back and was arguably the best player on the floor for the Jazz.
I think that goes to what you're talking about the rookies. There's just an inconsistency factor for it. And you're right. Keontae, that wall, yeah, disintegrated is probably the right term to use because you can tell that he's like, how many more games I got on this? Like, they play 40 games at the very most in the college game, and you play double that in the regular season, and it happens to every rookie. Sensabaugh and Hendricks don't look as gassed because guess what? They spent the first half of the season doing what they did with the Salt Lake City Stars, and the G League, it is what it is, but you're not playing the same level and same amount of games as you do in the NBA.
Much less pressure, all the things that add up.
So, yes, it's nice to see Bryce Sensabaugh be a bounce back because it was a dreadful performance Friday. I was sitting there with my daughter watching it with my own eyes, and I'm like, "Wow, this is bad." But then he has a really fine performance last night, and kind of goes to the question I had also about Taylor Hendricks. I asked him about. I've watched Taylor Hendricks shoot a lot of corner threes this year. There are times it comes off his hand, you're like, that's going down. The other times you see that is going 10 yards left or right because it's just flat. All three of them have shown flashes of great ability to impact basketball games, not just scoring-wise. We're talking Hendricks looks like the future 3 and D wing you want him to be. And you just got to be able to draw that out of them. And obviously this upcoming offseason, as you mentioned, getting into shape, working on those skill sets, critical for all three of them here.
Yeah. Bryce is going to be about conditioning. Not that I think he's in bad shape. I know he's got a big body.
Yeah.
He's not like out of shape. It's just about conditioning yourself to play 82 games. He's also got to get into the... Remember Royce O'Neal couldn't dribble when he first got here?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, he's got to get into the Royce O'Neal dribbling academy of learning how to handle the ball. Because I actually think he's a much better passer, we've said, than Royce.
Yeah.
So if you allow him to do a couple of things, like he doesn't need to do a lot off the dribble. Yeah. He needs one or two moves to get to his spots to get a shot up or make a pass. And I think they will get him there. And then, Taylor Hendricks' technique defensively, et cetera, et cetera. But the nice thing is all these guys have a skill. And truthfully, for both Bryce and Taylor right now, maybe their best skill is that they are legitimately going to be dangerous shooters. I think you saw it last night. Bryce Sensabaugh, 5 of 10 from the three-point line. Just the ability to get 10 threes up is impressive. Mm-hmm. Knock down 5 is good. And then Taylor Hendricks at his size with his defensive versatility going 4 of 6 is encouraging if you're a Jazz fan.
Well, and the thing about it is I want to say it was you about a month ago on Twitter said that the Jazz rookie draft picks look pretty genius in retrospect. Mm-hmm. And I got to give you credit because you were kind of the first person I felt like had pointed out. I noticed and I was watching. I'm like, he's not wrong. Here's the thing. Because remember, when Taylor Hendricks wasn't in the lineup, as a rookie, early on, he is now, but early on, that was a waste of a pick.
Yeah.
It's the ninth pick. You know what? They had a plan for him, and it looks like it's paid off. Bryce Sensabaugh was kind of the extra guy in most people's minds. You had a pick, you had to take somebody, and like, Sensabaugh's good enough, bring him in. But what have they done? They've all proven that they are, appears that they are viable NBA rotation pieces, which is a positive for this rebuilding effort that the Jazz are going to undergo. Are all three of them going to be on this roster in 4 or 5 years' time?
Of course not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That's the nature of the NBA. You're looking at this from a 30,000-foot view. If you're the front office, you're saying, okay, what pieces do we have right now, and who potentially down the line are we going to need to be able to move out if need be to make room for X, Y, or Z? So It's good to see them doing their thing. It does make me chuckle that Bryce Sensabaugh is very much in a Royce O'Neal type. Like, he's got to learn to be able to do what he needs to do on the basketball court to function. But his ability, he can step back and shoot with anybody.
Yep, he can.
And that, you can say, okay, as Will Hardy will say, like, okay, I can work with that. I can build sets to take advantage of that skill for you. And that is going to be something that Will Hardy also will have to work on in the offseason, is saying, okay, I've got these three pieces. This is what they do well. This is what we're having them work on. Where can we utilize them best on the court and in what spots to maximize their potential?
Yeah, again, the other thing about Bryce, he was 5 of 10 from 3. That also means he was 3 of 4 inside the arc, which is something I actually think he has a very good skill to do, which is create a shot for himself.
That'd be good.
Inside the arc, which you have to have guys who do that. Lowry can do it a little bit, but isn't great at it, is kind of one of his flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you learned this year, I think, is some of the things that Lowry is not becoming, which at his age, he'll get better. I don't think he's going to continue to add a ton of things to his game. So finding some of those guys who can create their own shots is going to be important for the Jazz, and Bryce Sensabaugh looks like he has a chance to be one of those players.
Well, and you have to have the mix of guys, as you mentioned, late in the shot clock, you'd have a guy or two on the court at all times who, you toss them the ball. It's the Jordan Clarkson. They can go and they'll manufacture something for you. But you also have guys like Lowry Markkanen who, they're not necessarily going to create their own shot, but they're very good catch-and-shoot guys. You get them into their spots. You get them the ball in time. They're going to knock down shots. You have to have that blended together.
Yeah.
Because if you have that, that means you have the versatility that you crave. You have the guys you know are going to be able to get the buckets running the set you need. But when it breaks down, you go get the ball to the bucket getter and say, okay, Jordan, Bryce in this case, Bryce Sensabaugh, go find a way to get a shot up.
Yeah, have a couple guys who can create their own. It's important. It's a critical part of what the Jazz do. And then one of the things you mentioned you mentioned their draft picks and their war chests.
Yeah.
You use a draft pick and the value of them go down, right?
Yeah.
If the player doesn't hit.
Sure.
So the nice thing is, like, you can always trade future draft picks because there's always the what if attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing is if you do hit on these draft picks, and again, I think it's safe to say that the Jazz rookies this year have more positives than they do negatives. None of them are perfect players. They all have negatives. They all have some red flags.
Sure.
But I don't think any of them have quote-unquote fatal flaws. They're going to keep them from being in the NBA.
They're not unplayable, yeah.
The nice thing is every team wants young talent. And every GM can justify whatever trade as long as they get a young piece back that might turn into something.
Sure.
So when you hit on young players, as unromantic as this is, because as a fan, you really want to fall in love with the guys on your team, the fact that these guys become tradable and aren't lost assets because they were busts as draft picks is as important as anything they actually do on the floor. You know, the fact that they could be tradable and still have value down the line is really significant. And that was a plus for this Jazz season.
Hey, it adds to what you have to offer when teams come calling or you're calling them saying, okay, hey, we're interested in player X. What's it going to take? And they're like, well, you have that Sensabaugh kid or you have Keontae George. Like, what would it take for them to be part of this deal? And then you start – that's where you start. And it's – I love the machinations of NBA and just overall pro sports front office is because there are so many phone calls that happen that go literally nowhere.
Right.
It's one phone call. Hey, we're interested in this guy. What's it going to take? They're like, this way. And you're like, thanks for the time. Have a great day. On to the next.
Yeah.
But then there are other times you call them up, say, hey, we're interested in this. They're like, well, we're interested in from you guys. And then you start talking and it starts morphing and changing. And you're like, okay, what do we got to include here? The whole situation about going into one trade, I don't think people really realize how many hours, man hours, go into just one single trade being executed at the pro sports level. It takes a ton for this to come together. And when it does, yeah, everybody's looking out for their best interests. And you're right. GMs, they love nothing more than be able to turn to their CEO, their owner, and say, hey, I got this piece over here who we think can become this.
Yep. You know, an interesting situation. And you know, trades die and come back to life. And trades, I mean, notoriously, the Jazz trade with the Cavaliers ended up being Donovan Mitchell died.
Yeah.
Like, the Cavaliers said, we're not interested. We're not going to be a part of this anymore.
Yeah.
Then it was like, okay, it's all Knicks with the Jazz. And then the R.J. Barrett signed his contract extension, and the Jazz didn't want him anymore.
Yeah.
And so they called the Cavaliers back up and said, hey, how are you still feeling about, you know, Colin, Lowry, and Ochai?
Kobe Altman got on the line once again with Justin Zanuck, and they're like, all right, here we go.
Here's the deal. So, and, you know, an example of what you were talking about, the ability to kind of mix and match pieces, was the – Jazz wanted Jaden McDaniels from the Minnesota Timberwolves, reportedly.
Yeah.
And the Timberwolves said, well, how about we throw in Walker Kessler instead or a draft pick instead? And the Jazz said, fine. But that's the advantage of having good young players and draft picks is, hey, let's say the Jazz get to a trade where they want to bring in a superstar, whoever it is. And the team says, hey, man, we really want Bryce Sensabaugh.
Sure.
And the Jazz can say, well, what about a future first-round pick instead? Because we actually kind of like Bryce and we're going to keep him around. Or vice versa.
Sure.
Hey, we don't want to include this future unprotected Lakers pick, but look at how good this rookie is performing right now. This is better than a first-round pick because you don't have to wait 8 years for it to hit.
It's a proven
option.
It's
ready to go.
Yeah.
So it just gives you that type of versatility, and that's where the Jazz are trying to build to improve.
And that's the thing about it is it's not going to come together in one offseason, Ben. Like you said this earlier. You expect some moves, moves this offseason. They're not going to be the end-all, be-all moves. Because nor should they be, nor can they be also. Because with how many assets the Jazz have, you'd have to be executing trades at an astronomical clip.
Yeah, how many yachts can you buy in one summer? Like, billionaires have all the money in the world. It's hard to spend it.
Yes. So it's going to take some time, but I think they're trying to execute it the best way that they know how. And yeah, it may not fully come together for years down the line, but I'm going to preach to Jazz fans here for a minute. Just trust what they're trying to execute here. Like, understand that, yeah, it's not a perfect process. And trust me, for us in sports media, watching what the Jazz are putting on the court right now, it's tough. Because there's very real possibility they're 0-16 to finish out this year.
And I would also add that, you know, there's the idea of going all in, which is what the Jazz did when they traded for Mike Conley. And they had zero future assets. They had nothing else they could do. They couldn't trade any more draft picks.
And Danny Ainge sat him down in that draft and said, this is fun, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't think we're ever going to see that again. I don't think the Jazz will ever, quote, be fully all in. Like, even look at the Boston Celtics under Danny Ainge.
Mm-hmm.
What was so exciting about Boston's run was they always still had more stuff.
They maintained flexibility.
Yeah, they still had all this flexibility. Mm-hmm. They still had moves to make and ways that they could improve. They were never cornered.
They're not the LeBron Lakers. The Lakers have been maxed out.
The Timberwolves.
Timberwolves, same thing.
The Cavaliers now, they're maxed out. They can't do anything. The Suns are the most maxed out all-in team I've ever seen.
Yeah.
They are so fully all-in, they don't control their own draft picks. All their draft picks are swapped that they do own.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mess. I don't think you're ever going to be that way. I think the Jazz are going to operate like a billionaire that just says, mm-hmm. well, I'm always looking for the next investment also. Like, I'm always trying to build up the wealth, and I'm never going to deplete it for one
sure.
move.
Yeah.
I think the Jazz are always going to try and have multiple future picks, expiring contracts, and young pieces that are kind of always working, and you hope that there are some spikes where you get a chance to win a title in the right season and be competitive for a long time. But, like, they should be able to, with this war chest of draft picks and young players they have, kind of keep this thing going for a long time, just because you can always kick the can down the road. You can always swap an asset for a future asset.
Yeah.
And I suspect that's the long-term goal for the Jazz.
And guess what? With those other teams that you mentioned that are all in, eventually it comes a point where they're going to have to start shedding their assets,
yeah.
and that's when you strike.
Yep, exactly right. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Stick around. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Show brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free and a home estimate, 801-566-1255. Hatch, would be remiss to not discuss huge college basketball games tonight on the women's side of the bracket. LSU at Iowa.
The rematch.
This is going to be one of the most hotly anticipated women's basketball games in my lifetime.
It might be the most watched ever. Like, here's the thing, Caitlin Clark, if you have not watched Caitlin Clark play basketball, you are missing out on one of the more electrifying players you're ever going to see. And then, on the other side, you have this head coach by the name of Kim Mulkey, who is just a cantankerous you-know-what.
Yep.
But she also has some really good players led by Angel Reese, and they obviously are rematching what was the national title game last year. It's going to be a fun one tonight, it looks like, because I think these two teams they got a little something for each other after what happened last year.
There's a ton of attitude on both of these teams. I mean, First of all, LSU's got the has walked the walk, mm-hmm. so they get to talk the talk.
Yeah.
And we will see if Caitlin Clark can back up. I mean, she doesn't need to prove she's brilliant. She's already going to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. She's one of the greatest women's college basketball players we've ever seen, and just one of the greatest college basketball players we've ever seen, hence owning the scoring title. She is unreal and mm-hmm. excited to watch this game tonight. That's going to be a fun one. And not the only game on the docket, even though it's going to pale in comparison. UConn versus USC is a huge game.
Well, okay, and here's the thing. Juju, they've been a running joke with DJ and PK. Is she the best Juju to come out of USC in their history with Juju Smith-Schuster? But Juju Watkins, an impact freshman, and then obviously what Gino Auriemma has built at UConn over the years. Paige Beckers? Is that her last name correct, I think? She's a really good player. Back off of an ACL tear. You've got headliners on all four of these teams, and it should yield for some really compelling basketball tonight. Look, listen, I know that women's basketball is not for everybody, but I'm telling you, this year the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament has been awesome.
Look, what all sports need, but basketball specifically, and the NBA needed this. It's why Larry and Magic were credited with saving the NBA. It needs stars. Mm-hmm. It's got to have stars. It doesn't work without stars. There was a huge panic in the NBA after Michael Jordan left of like, what is going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just so happened that Kobe and Shaq and Tim Duncan were there and ready to take over. And we've realized, like, the NBA's doing it now. Who's going to be the next great American player when LeBron retires? You know what? Somebody will.
Yeah.
Somebody will. The problem for women's basketball is that they're while there have been stars, not every team has a star. And now you're going to get to the point in the WNBA where you're going to have all these familiar faces where women's college basketball has done such a good job marketing their stars like Angel Reese mm-hmm. that are going to go into the draft now, and then you're going to follow them. And we are seeing it with Breanna Stewart.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
seen a lot of talent, Ionescu. Like
yeah, Sabrina Ionescu, yeah, absolutely.
Seeing them come through the college ranks, become stars as young players, get drafted, and then you follow them in the WNBA is how those leagues build up. And these are the types of moments where you see the Magic versus Bird at the Huntsman Center, like in the tournament, these iconic games. So a chance tonight for this LSU-Iowa game.
It should
be very exciting.
It should be appointment television. We'll see how it ultimately transpires. But the thing is, I can think back to the yesteryear of WNBA. Sue Bird, I know David Locke is very, very close to her. But I remember Sue Bird was just so good in college. I've tracked, she played, what, 20-ish yeah. years in the WNBA? She was in her 40s before she ultimately called it quits not that long ago. There are a lot of athletes like that over the years. And that's the fun part about it is you can kind of latch on to them, as you mentioned, early on, before they were quote unquote big time.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part.
And it seems like we're getting more and more. It
yes.
seems like we're getting more super iconic female players coming through that are household names. The way Caitlin Clark is absolutely a household name.
Oh, yeah.
So,
by the way, I think the Indiana Fever have the first pick in the WNBA yep. draft, and they've all but said that, yeah, Caitlin Clark, come on down.
Yeah.
Like, so, no,
yep.
as they should.
And they're finding ways to compensate her to make sure that she's making millions,
yes.
not just the $250,000 she'll be eligible for. She's going to mm-hmm. be very well compensated and be a star in the WNBA.
Did you see the discrepancies with the Portland court, though? With
I
the
did.
Three-point
Insane.
Line?
Oh, yeah.
Inexcusable. If you didn't see it, the key was off.
Uh-huh.
So the
But it was off for more than just that game.
Right.
It was off the entire tournament.
You had one job. Paint the lines on the basketball court right. Yeah, the three-point line was misshapen and was closer to the key at some points. It was a joke.
Well, and here's the deal. That they have the two regionals in the women's basketball. So there's one in Portland. There's one in Albany, New York. So they have eight teams each in both mm-hmm. of these. They played, as you mentioned, multiple games before this got caught. It's like, okay, this is standard practice, folks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
let's go.
Well, those people never get to design a court again.
Yeah.
All right, Hans and Scotty coming up next. Hatch, thanks as always for filling in for
thanks
Jake.
Thanks for having me.
Jake Scott will be back tomorrow. Stick around. More Hans and Scotty coming up next, 97.5 The KSL Sports.
Thanks, Sarah.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.